You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Frisaro. And Joe, you look at this offseason for the Marlins, and obviously I think the thing that they're zeroed in on as far as adding to this team has to be pitching, which isn't necessarily a strength of this marketplace this offseason, especially when you think about starters availability. And you lost another one on Monday, Jeremy Hellickson deciding to accept the qualifying offer from the Philadelphia Phillies, so he's not on the market as well. So what is kind of the, from what you've heard or what you kind of guess at, what is the Marlins' plan for the approach of this offseason and how they can kind of fill these needs?
Yeah, Tim, there's going to be a challenge. You know, they're kind of one of those teams that kind of want to be in it, but might be a little short on overall depth and talent, and, you know, are kind of, you know, figuring out which direction to go. You know, they've been consistently saying they want to keep the core. They think that their core eight can compete with anybody. But as you noted, you know, the pitching is a drop-off and a concern, and especially in light of, you know, the passing of Jose Fernandez, who meant so much, you know, not only to the, you know, just the energy and excitement he brought to the team, but obviously his all-star production. And they just don't have a lot of pitching depth, you know, behind, you know, in the system and coming up or even on the rotation. They dealt with injuries, and they're seeing it's a huge challenge to try to figure out which direction to go in terms of acquiring, you know, what they would hope to be is controllable pitching. As you noted, Hellickson, he's a guy who they approached the Phillies, you know, before the trade deadline back in July, the 1st of August. And, you know, the asking price was very high back then. And we saw what Jeremy just, you know, accepted the $17.2 million qualifying offer to stay in Philly. You know, you got a Rich Hills out there, but I'm not sure, you know, they want to spend those dollars for the age and the injury risk. So they're kind of in a bind. You know, are they going to peel off the core, you know, move in Ozuna, you know, and or Echevarria, and then if they do, then they're, you know, subtracting the quality they have in their everyday lineup, and how do they replenish that? So, you know, I think they're kind of asking themselves and monitoring, you know, how to go with this, and moving forward to kind of strengthen a weakness and, you know, stay competitive at the same time.
So that's mostly as far as the starters go. As far as the bullpen goes, they declined the option on Fernando Rodney, which I guess makes a lot of sense as far as the dollars and having 1 year left of him. Do they also need to go out and add some bullpen arms and depth?
Well, let's start with Fernando to start with. I mean, he had the $2 million club option, which I think they may have even considered picking up, except for the bonuses he made, you know, mainly because of his really strong first half with the, you know, with the Padres, and when he was an all-star, you know, with bonuses, it pushed his salary up to about $5 million. And, you know, at that dollar figure, considering he's turning 40, you know, they just, that didn't make sense to retain him at that figure. So that's why he's a free agent. And, you know, you could approach it a second way. If you can't, you know, if you could kind of load up on durable starters that can get you 5-6 innings, get you 180 innings, then try to make your bullpen, which kind of was a strength this past year, even stronger, and go pursue, you know, bullpen arms in mass, you know, then that's one way that they could contend as well. But again, you know, it's, you know, how many dollars are you going to throw at some guys? Melanson, Chapman, and Kenley Jansen are the three big closers out there. All are going to get big money, and all are, you know, coming from playoff teams. Chapman, in his case, winning a World Series. Plus, there always seemed to be kind of that feeling you could go back to the Yankees, and indications I'm hearing is I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he ends up. Jansen has a, you know, even though he declined the qualifying offer, he comes, you know, now with a draft pick, and the Marlins, on top of having to sign him, would forfeit the 14th overall pick in the draft, and they're not really, in, you know, depth-wise wanting to part with, you know, a draft pick. And Melanson, I think he was what interviewing or, you know, meeting with like the Giants and teams like that. So to get somebody like that to want to come to a team that's trying to move forward with question marks is going to be difficult. So they're going to, but there is more bullpen depth out there. And then I think we saw in the playoff teams doing a little bit more creativity with their bullpens. obviously you can't go two-plus innings with your best relievers every day, you know, every game over 162, but, you know, you can compile depth and create, you know, that way of shortening games in the back end and hope your starters consistently give you 5 to 6 innings.
You mentioned the core, and obviously it's a solid group of young players with this Marlins team, but there's some, I guess, as far as depth goes, that's another place where they need to add something. And there's some guys that they had, obviously Jeff Francoeur, Chris Johnson, Jeff Mathis, those guys are all free agents. Would they like to bring one or a couple of those guys back beyond going out and getting somebody else that's a free agent?
I think Jeff Mathis is the most logical. You know, he's really found a home here. He works really well with the pitching staff. He's not going to cost a lot. You know, I think he's the last couple of years has been going on like a $1.5 million. You know, so to get that caliber catch and throw catcher, who has also been, you know, credited for the development of JT Realmuto, you know, so I think he's the most logical. You know, Francoeur, you know, could make sense. You know, when Frenchie came here, he kind of noted, even though a lot of people I think assumed he was going to flip and go right back to Atlanta when the season ended. But you know, at the time, the Marlins looked like they were advancing to being a really solid playoff contender. Obviously, they made their run in 16, but have the core in place to, you know, take it another notch up in 17. I think he wanted part of it. But if this team is looking either stagnant or, you know, not being a contending situation, Francoeur, who noted he'd like to play for a team having a chance to compete, you know, he may go seek other options. And Atlanta's made a lot of, you know, strong moves. They're very aggressive, and they got a core that's really good, or at least a young core. It looks like they could turn things around pretty fast in Atlanta. So it's going to be interesting. But those are the two I would think are the most realistic to come back. Mathis probably for sure. Francoeur, you know, I think they would like him. But part of that also could be, you know, what they do with Ozuna. If he stays, you know, there's less need, you know, for him. If he's moved in a trade, then, you know, maybe, you know, Frenchie comes back and splits time somewhere in the outfield.
One more thing I wanted to get your take on, Joe, is there's been talk, I think, this week of the Marlins actually coming up with a permanent memorial of sorts for Jose Fernandez. No real details on what that might be, statue outside the ballpark or anything like that. I know the temporary memorial that was set up after his death continues to be there and continues to get visitors. How quickly do you think the team would try to put something more formal together and pay tribute to Jose Fernandez?
For what I'm gathering, this is owner Jeffrey Loria's kind of pet project. You know, they've kind of made it clear that they were going to do something, you know, for Jose and his memory and his legacy, and, you know, what exactly that's going to be. It's still, I can kind of hear, is still in development. You know, where it will be as well. None of those details, but I would imagine before, you know, the World Baseball Classic, if one of the rounds is in Marlin Park, if possibly then, if not, certainly by opening day. And obviously, you got the 2017 All-Star Game here in Miami. I'm sure they'd want to have something in place, you know, before that, because, you know, Jose's memory and legacy are certainly going to be a topic as, you know, this season, you know, as the 17th season comes about. But, you know, it's something that Jeffrey Loria is doing, and I think in time, once they have final details, they'll kind of give a little better indication of what that is. But to no one's surprise, you know, they're going to do something, like you said, whether it's a statue, whether, you know, I kind of suggested, you know, that pitching mound that kind of was, you know, where he was, 29-2 in his career, you know, to retire that and have, you know, maybe have that somewhere in the park. And that might even be something that they're considering doing, something, you know, with, you know, the mound or you know, some parts of the mound as well. But we'll actually, you know, in time see what they do to honor and remember Jose.
And, of course, everybody remembers the team going out to that mound in that first game after Jose's death as well, and kind of kneeling down in front of it as well, all the players in that game. All right, great stuff as always, Joe. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.